Hello, my name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest on With Respect is Tara Gillette. Tara is the communications outreach person for the Region 4 Area Agency on Aging, which is a long title. We're going to find out what it's all about. But the organization essentially takes care of us, helps us take care of ourselves. Tara Gillette, With Respect. Tara, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you for asking.
Tara, all right, first question for everybody is, where are you from originally?
I'm from Ohio, so I'm a Buckeye.
Uh-oh.
Central Ohio, and I'm a graduate of Ohio State University.
Oh, my. How did you end up in enemy territory?
That is not enemy territory, John.
Okay, all right. How did you end up in Michigan?
I ended up in Michigan because a number of years ago, I was actually working for the Hobart Corporation, the KitchenAid division, and Whirlpool Corporation purchased them. And so I was transferred to Southwest Michigan. And so I've been here for quite a number of years and absolutely love this area.
All right. Well, okay. We accept that this is a wonderful area that would make anybody, even a Buckeye, happy to come here. However, tell me, where do you come from originally? What part of Ohio?
Central Ohio, just southeast of Columbus, about 40 miles down around the Lancaster area, on your way to Athens, Ohio, and Ohio University country.
That's right.
So that's where I grew up.
What about your family?
I am the youngest of four children. I have three older brothers. So imagine that was rather interesting growing up with three brothers. So
you're the oldest of...
I'm the youngest.
Youngest.
As of the four.
Oh, my God.
Three older brothers.
That you were pampered. You were treated like a queen, right?
I was a daddy's girl.
All right. So tell me about your mom and dad.
Well, they were great parents. My mother's still living. My dad has passed away a number of years ago. And my mom still resides in Ohio. So we just spent the holidays with her there. So just a great area of the country to grow up in.
So tell me about your brothers and what do they do?
One of my brothers is already retired. One works for a company, a manufacturing company in the Lancaster, Ohio area. And I'm fortunate to have one of my brothers who actually works for Hope College.
Oh.
So lives in the Fenville area. So we get to see him and his wife on a regular basis. So we're going to eventually convert probably everybody up to the Michigan area.
So when you were young, what were your interests?
Actually, they don't have candy stripers anymore, but I was a candy striper for a hospital. I volunteered a lot of hours in that. I thought I would go into the medical profession. First quarter in college, taking that chemistry, you know, that organic chemistry, I'm like, I'm not sure this is for me.
I have a relative who, when she was young, she was going to be a doctor, and then it was going to be a surgeon. And then she discovered that she didn't like blood. And so that was it. She just passed out of that stage into being a marine biologist. So the question to you is, where did you go from that interest? What did you do in high school? What were your interests?
Yearbook, committee, things of that nature, always preparing for college. I was excited to get out of high school and go to college and really start a career.
Where'd you go to college?
So I went to Ohio State, the Ohio State University. We have to get the in there.
That's right.
And what was great about Ohio State being in a larger university was the fact that when I did decide I wasn't going to be that medical technologist that I had always thought I would be as a candy striper, there were a lot of other opportunities for me to explore and to look into.
What did you choose?
So that's why I actually have a degree in home economist. I'm a home economist by degree, home economics, now called consumer science, is what the universities have, you know, named that as. So I had a business background. 50% of my courses were in business, and 50% were in the home economics area.
You know, that's interesting because names and words acquire meaning. They have a denotation and a connotation. The denotation is what the words actually mean or the phrase actually means, and then there is that subcontext of what does it mean in society. And home ec was back in the day, he or she is just in home ec, and it was not really considered a real degree. Now you changed it.
Yeah, it's now you're called a consumer scientist, and it really is all about the consumer. You're really learning about why they purchase certain goods that they do. It includes the dietetics field. It's much broader
than
it ever was.
What was that?
Dietetics.
Yeah.
You know, people are really concerned about what they're eating anymore.
Ah, okay. So that concerns with what the diet you have.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, go ahead.
So I've always been very interested in the consumer. And even with my position now, I'm working with clients and consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been the background of my whole work history, is really working with consumers. And so that was really my basis. And through the years, you know, starting out as a home economist, working for the KitchenAid brand, working in a test kitchen, and then more and more interfacing with consumers, you know, you're just kind of like building on that experience.
So let's just talk a minute about that part. You said you work with a KitchenAid in the kitchen. How does that relate to, you start off, you're selling a product. You're eventually going to be selling a product. But where does your role come in that selling? Are you the person who goes out and sells them to the public? Is that what you do? Or did?
I didn't actually sell them to the public, but I wrote all the use and care manuals, did the recipe development for products that went into the consumers' homes, and made sure that consumers understood how to use the products.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that would be video work, or that would be instructional materials that would be prepared for the consumer to have in their homes.
Mm-hmm. So you grew from that into what?
Well, then I went on and I actually got my certification in innovation with Whirlpool. Ideating new ideas and things can be new to the market. So how can we expand our product lines and grow them to meet consumers' needs? Sometimes it's something they don't even know they need yet, but you do a lot of research and you watch people and how they use a product, and you're watching their workarounds, and you have this idea, I think we can make their life a little bit easier if we changed our product or developed a new product for them.
So product research, creation.
I also got into that a little bit after I left Whirlpool and worked for a market research company, where that's what we did. We went to people's homes and watched them make a dish, or, you know, how are they using appliances in their homes, and, you know, just really observing them. You do things on your own that you don't know you're doing. You just do it. But when someone watches you, you can pick up ideas from that and maybe create new ideas and new products and things.
Okay. I'm sure that the people who come in and out of my house wish that I had taken your whatever course you had, because I make spaghetti sauce, all right? My father made spaghetti sauce. I learned from him about making spaghetti sauce. He made a mess in the kitchen. My mother left the kitchen because she didn't want to be a part of the making of the spaghetti sauce. And he would work all afternoon to make this and then put pots and pans into the sink and sort of expect her to clean them up. All right. Finally, she said, "You make it, you clean it." I do the same thing, and there's no one around me to say, except my dog, to say, you know, you got to clean it up, but I have to. How can you help me, how could you in that role, help me to be a better cook.
You want to be a better cook, or do you want to be able to clean up better?
Well, both, because you know, Colin Powell used to say, if you break it, you own it. That's, you know, from the antiques time, you know, and that's the motto of the how the United States has to deal with an intervention in foreign affairs. You break it, you get in there, you get involved, or in my case, you cook it, you clean it. Now, there's got to be a way that someone can look at what I do and make it better, make it less of a mess, better product, better spaghetti sauce. How would you? I'm just looking at how you would take a look at that process, and help me.
Probably what I would say, I'm quite the organizational person. I probably tell you to clean as you go. So don't let the pots and pans all pile up. And are there ways that you can streamline that spaghetti sauce process? So, you know, you always go from dry to wet. So if you're, you know, chopping, you know, if you're doing your Parmesan cheese, you would do that first, and then you would move to chopping your onions and garlic and things like that. But try to simplify that process as much as possible as you're working through it. We're so fortunate now, we have the Food Network and shows like that and all kinds of magazines and stuff that really help people to find great recipes and also to make it as simple as possible.
And cooking books and TV programs are way up at the top of people's interest in watching. There are high sales of books, high sales of TV watching and whatnot. So that's part of your world. That was part of your world.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do after that?
So I did the innovation part. You know, I worked in that a little bit in product development, bringing some new products to market and helping them come to market. That was fascinating and really interesting work. Working in the market research world where you went to the consumers' homes, that was always fascinating to watch people and, you know, see what they're really doing in their home. Because you would design a product one way and hope they would use it a certain way, and then you would watch people not use it the way that you had intended. That was real eye-opening to go into a consumer's home and watch that. After that, you know, I had an opportunity. You know, one door closes, another opens, and someone said to me, have you ever thought about working for a nonprofit organization? Had not even occurred to me. Didn't have a nonprofit background. Always thought people that worked in nonprofits probably always worked in a nonprofit. So this marketing communications position opened up, and I thought, yeah, maybe I'll look into that a little bit. Maybe it's time in my life to give something back to the community that's been so great to me. So I did have this opportunity to take this position and really get the word out about our organization, and I've absolutely loved it. It's been great for me.
How long have you been with this area for?
About a year and a half.
What are your responsibilities? What do you do?
Wow, they're varied. My biggest goal and my biggest responsibility is to get the word out about our organization and what we do and how we can help people in our regions that we serve, which are Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties.
How long, you say you've been doing this about a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
How large is the organization that you work with?
We have about 60 people in our organization. We're right on Lakeview Avenue. You may be familiar where we are, 2900 Lakeview Avenue, and people do not realize that we're that large of an organization.
You shocked me.
We are, and I'm the first person to do this position with the agency. They really saw a need that we just needed to get our word out there more. One of my goals, John, really is I've had so many people say to me, I wish I had known about your organization when my mother was ill, or when my friend, or, you know, whoever it may, a loved one was ill. You know, I wish I had known earlier about your organization. You could have helped me, or you could have helped them.
I have heard that so many times. So many times that I didn't know about this service. I mean, it was out there, but I didn't know about it.
So that's really one of my goals, is for people not to have to say that. You may never need our services, but I personally want you to know about our services should you or a loved one ever need to know about us.
All right. So you've got 60 people working there. We're coming up to a break, but when we come back, I want to begin to talk about what is it that you do. What is it, this area agency on aging it actually is all about? So we're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Tara Gillette, who is the outreach and communications director for the Region 4, that's Bering, Cass, and Van Buren counties, Agency on Aging. This is John Smetanker. We're on With Respect, and we will be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Tara Gillette. Tara is the Communications and Outreach Director for the Region 4 area, Agency on Aging. And this is John Smetanka. Tara, so in one paragraph, in a small paragraph, what do you guys do?
Well, what we really try to do, John, is our mission is offering choices for independent lives. So we want people to be able to live independently in their home or the living arrangement of their choice. That's really what we want to do, is to be able to offer those choices for people.
Now, people are aging in our country because of the baby boom back after the Second World War. There's this big bulge in our population. Lots and lots of people are fitting in this baby boom generation who are coming into the aging category. Mm-hmm. And they come into that because they're human beings with, you know, sometimes they're very active, sometimes they are very sedentary, sometimes they're very ill, sometimes they're just distracted. And they don't really know what's going on in their lives. Okay. Now, that causes problems for them mm-hmm. and for the people around them. So how do you address that?
Well, we have a lot of different services available for those who are very active and just need, you know, maybe they need some computer classes. We have those. We have a SeniorNet class, you know, Windows 10, Excel, Facebook, people who want to, you know, keep in communication with their grandchildren through Facebook. We have classes like that are available. All those available right within our facility on Lakeview Avenue in St. Joe. So, you know, we do have a lot of different things that are available. That's one thing. We have all kinds of volunteer opportunities for people to take part in, you know, which is really great too, depending on what kind of things you want to do and how you want to serve the community.
So you've got people who are active. What ages are your volunteers?
Volunteers can range 50 and up sometimes. It depends what the program is. So maybe mm-hmm. SeniorNet program, they may be 50. They may do Senior Companion program. They may be 60, 65 in that range. So a lot of people have retired. You know, you and I aren't retired. I don't know how that's going to be one day. But, you know, you retire and you have all these plans. But then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't know if I like this or not. I mm-hmm. still want to be active. I still want to give to the community. And maybe they don't want to get another job, but volunteering may be that opportunity for them.
Well, friends of mine have taken different paths. I talk to people who I haven't seen for years in retirement parties, and I say, how are you doing? What are you doing? And they'll say, well, you know, I'm retired. I said, well, are you retired? What are you doing? And some will say, well, I've gone into this or that field. I'm doing Meals on Wheels. I'm doing volunteer work. Or I've taken another job part-time. Or I'm doing a lot of honey-do lists at the house. I've heard that one over and over. And then some say, nothing. I'm not doing anything. And I love being totally sedentary or totally in my own world of drinking beer and watching television or whatever it is. I don't know. But the point is that there's a wide range of things that can happen after you stop your work life. And that can be all those things that you've mentioned. How do you take advantage of those people the resources, the time, and the interest that those people in those various categories, can you give them things to do?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, you really need a purpose. You know, you need to have some fulfillment in your life. I don't think your friend is going to always be happy just sitting back drinking wine or whatever. I think he'll want to do something at some point. You know, maybe it's just getting involved in your church, maybe a social group in your community. You know, people need to find like a schedule and have things to do on a pretty regular basis, I think. So we have opportunities for people. You really can get in as involved as you want. I mean, some people volunteer 20 hours a week. It's almost like a part-time job, but you're volunteering for it. Other people are like, no, I only want to do this maybe one day a week. Maybe I only want to be a senior net instructor in the computer class program, maybe only one day a week, maybe for just a couple hours. And that's all they want to do. We have volunteers that come in, and there's one gentleman. He volunteers in SeniorNet. He does Habitat for Humanity. He does things at the Krasel Arts Center. He is so busy. I don't know how he has time to do all of his volunteer work. He's busier than he was when he was.
I heard that one, too.
Yes.
You say, what are you doing? Well, boy, I'm busier than I was when I worked.
Exactly.
And they say, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Well, all right. That's great, I guess. But whatever it is, there is a place for that kind of activity, either very little work or a lot of work, mm-hmm. for everybody.
Yes.
One of the things that struck me, because I've seen a lot of people who have gotten older, and one of the saddest things is their friends die off. Their whole world dies off. Mm-hmm. Or they, because they're restricted in their ability to travel to distant places to see family, and their family is also involved in their own lives, so they don't get a chance to see other people.
Mm-hmm.
And neighborhoods used to be places where we took care of one another. They're not quite so much anymore. Some neighborhoods are dangerous, but, and maybe that's always true, but we pay more attention to that now. What I'm coming to is that people need people.
Yes.
And doesn't that have a health-giving or protecting effect?
Absolutely. Socialization has a huge impact on people when they age. People have a tendency to either be more outward or inward at that point, and you have to be very cautious of that and careful that you are getting out into the community. So go to your local senior center. You know, be out with other people. Don't just stay in your home. There's a lot of transportation provided by the local senior centers in our community that can help people get to the senior center, have a meal, play cards, do crafts, you know, visit with other people. Those are a huge thing for people, and especially in the winter months, to be able to get out and do some things with their friends. And they become their friends then when they go to these senior centers. They're great, great facilities.
I would imagine that you have to overcome something. You have to overcome a fear or reluctance on the part of the person who is approaching or has reached retirement age, work retirement age, or their families are moving away, or whatever it is. You overcome the thought, everybody's leaving me, my life is crashing, but if I go to that senior center, I'll just make it worse because I'll be with all those old people.
We do hear that. I'm not going there. I'm not old enough to
That's
go
right.
there. That's
yeah.
exactly what people say. And I know someone personally who said that. I'm not going to the senior center. I'm not old. I don't need to do that. But you know what? They finally went on their own without anyone pushing them, and
yeah.
they love it. They go every day, they have a meal, they play cards. You know, maybe it's not for everyone, but I just want to caution people that you do need to worry a little bit about that socialization. And if it's not a senior center, then let it be a network of friends or other people so you're staying active. That'll make you younger too, I think.
You know, the fascinating thing in a smaller community, like Barry and Cass and Van Buren are filled with smaller communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the city of Chicago or Detroit or Washington, mm-hmm. New York, where There are millions of people in an area, and they have a different way of socialization. But in our area, St. Joseph is, what, 8,000, 9,000 people, and Benton Harbor is a few thousand, several thousand, 10,000 people. Those are smaller communities. Mm-hmm. And the people in those communities may find that even though they are restricted by their travel abilities, that and their friend, they think their friends are all dying off, that really they can find easily a place to see friends that they didn't realize mm-hmm. were still there, and can reestablish friendships that have moved on. Mm-hmm. They can build new friendships. They can have other friendships, and that's what you're talking about.
Well, and not only the senior centers, I see the local libraries and all the communities have a lot of programs. I've been really surprised when I've looked at their websites, a lot of different things, not just book clubs, but, you know, they have, you know, card clubs and different things and people who are interested in history and things of that nature. There's a lot of ways to get involved in the community without going to the senior center if you don't think that that's quite right for you. So there's a lot of different opportunities and a lot of volunteer opportunities, not only at our agency, but at other places throughout the counties that we service.
And one of the things you said to me a few minutes ago, you talked about computers. And I want to tell you, one of the fascinating things in my life was when my daughter discovered that I could actually go on the computer and see what was on Facebook. And I remember her and some of her friends saying, "What business do you have being on Facebook? This is not for you." But that's quite the contrary. Yeah. So many people of all ages are now on social media, connecting with their distant relatives, their children, their grandchildren, their parents, whatever, and they're now computer literate. But some of them are afraid. Some of them, I know the first time that I was on the cusp of getting onto the internet, this is many years ago, and I felt the image I had in my head. Before I hooked up onto that computer once, I thought, from the internet, I thought, it's a great, vast, dark ocean out there, and I don't want to put my toe in it unless I really know what I'm doing and what's out there. But when I got into it, oh, it's wonderful. It's a vast resource of information, of fun, of connections, and you're helping them.
Absolutely. It is, you know, Facebook, you just, at first it did start out, I think, with being for the younger people.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember my nephew saying to his dad, "Well, I'm not going to be on Facebook if you're going to be on Facebook."
Exactly.
Same thing you're saying. It was like, why is this happening? And so, but it has changed over the years. Now you're seeing a real mix of age groups on there. And that's why people want to come and learn more about it at the agency so they understand how to use it and they won't make that misstep. I think the first few times you go on and start using it, you're a little afraid. But it is a great way to connect with people from your past or present and your kids, and everyone's living all over the country now, so it's a quick way to stay in touch with people.
And there's something else which I found, again, referring back to my daughter, I remember we were riding along one day together and we were listening to the radio. We had this deal where I would have one day of my music and my and she would have the other day, and I had to listen to stuff that I didn't particularly like, and I'm sure that she had the same reaction to mine. But I remember one time there was a song, have no remember as to what it was, but I started singing it. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm singing with this song." She said, "That's a modern song. That's not from your age. Don't give me that. You can't sing that. It's my song." And so I said, "But here's the deal. When I was your age, that was a song." In other words, it's a repeat. The point I want to make is, nothing's new. Everything is recycled, unfortunately.
Yes.
What is old is new. Mm-hmm. And that connection with the past is very valuable to people as they age.
Absolutely. That's why it's so great for us to be able to have grandparents in our foster grandparent program in schools in the community. There's so much that the older person can learn from the younger person, and the younger person learn from the older person. And I think that keeps that older person young. You know, having that interaction, if they don't have their own grandchildren, being able to have the surrogate grandchildren in the surrogate class, you know, in the community, it really makes a big difference in people's lives.
We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Tara Gillette, who is the Outreach and Communications Director for Region 4 Area Agency on Aging. We're talking about what it's like to have a healthy and a hopeful and a pleasant and a useful life after work retirement. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Tara Gillette. Tara is the Communications and Outreach Director for the Region 4 Area Agency on Aging. We've talked a lot about those things that they do in general terms, and we talked about what the needs are. But we're going to delve now into specific programs that they have. This is John Smetanka. So, Tara, now you've talked about the general role of the Region 4 Area Agency on Aging. And we're going to talk about where people get involved or how they can get involved. But right now I want to ask you, what are the programs? Give me some examples of specific programs that you are getting into now or you are really very useful.
Well, John, one of the really important programs that we have at the Area Agency on Aging throughout the state of Michigan is the My Choice Waiver Program. This is a Medicaid-funded program that's available for people who are lower income and have high care needs. So they may have been in a nursing home and they want to transition back to their home. They can do that with this program. That is a great opportunity for them. Or again, they want to stay out of maybe going to a nursing home or another assisted living type facility. So this program can kick in and help people remain in their home. Again, we're all about choices. We want to give people choices of where they live. So they have that opportunity to say, I want to remain in my home. What can be done so I can stay in my home? And we know not everybody has the means maybe to be able to do that on their own, so they may need to have some assistance. So this My Choice program is great in that respect, that it can help people with these dollars to have services come into their home and help them remain in their home.
Well, remaining in your home is something I've heard from many, many people, many, many people. I don't want to go to a retirement home. I don't want to go to an extended care facility, whatever because it's not that they are afraid, it seems to me, basically, of a particular facility, but rather the concept of losing their independence and in control over their lives, because they've lost so much just because they're getting older. They don't run as fast. They don't walk as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
How do you overcome that? How do you deal with that? I don't not necessarily overcome it. How do you deal with people who have this deep, deep fear or resistance or lack of understanding of how to grow older?
Wow, that is a tough question. I think by the agency having resources that we can help them, by being able to provide supports in their home, I think that helps somewhat. Versus if you just knew, you know, how am I going to stay in my home? I think that can be somewhat depressing to someone, but knowing that there is an agency out there that cares about them and will come in and help them determine what they need to remain in their home. We get calls a lot of times, especially after a major holiday, where family, if they live far away, they've gone home and they haven't seen mom and dad in a while. They'll say, wow, I've noticed mom has started to slow down or dad's slowing down a little bit. I'm thinking they need some care. And, you know, a lot of times, John, they don't know where to call. And as we talked about earlier, knowing that we are there, that we are the kind of their first step in how do I deal with this with my parents? It can be overwhelming. I mean, I've had that position in my family before, and it's like, you just, who do you call? Mm-hmm. And if I had known that the agency was there and other people know the agency's there, it's like, give us a call. And we have an 800 number through our info line. It's 800-654-2810. Call
wait
us.
A minute. I didn't hear that number. Could you repeat that?
It's 800-654-2810. That is our info line, and we say that is our first point of entry into the agency. So say I went home over a holiday and I saw my mom needed some additional assistance or something, and I'm going, I don't know where to call. I don't live here. I don't know who to call. You call our number. We will talk to you, find out what your situation is. What do you need? What do you need from us? How can we help? Then we can look at our resources and say, okay, this is what we can do. And so maybe it is the My Choice program. Maybe they need help getting around the house. Maybe they need help getting out of bed. Sometimes that can be an issue. Maybe they need some help with some meals. Then we can start looking at those services for them and arranging them for to come into their home. That can either be a private pay, or that can be maybe through the My Choice program where there's some assistance dollars for them. And we have trained people on our staff that will assess their situation, assess their financial situation, assess their care need level. Now, this is coming from a person who never worked at a nonprofit or around healthcare, but those care needs, again, could be, I'm having trouble getting up in the morning, I'm having trouble bathing, dressing, getting my meals, things of that nature. We'll assess what that level of care would be. And if they qualify for the My Choice program, we have a care manager team that comes out to the person's home, sees them in their surroundings, because you can say one thing on the phone, oh yeah, I get up every day, I'm fine.
Oh yeah.
But then it's just like my market research experience. I'm watching you actually in your own home.
Right.
Whoa, they need a little more care. Maybe they don't need so much. So we can do an assessment. And our care management team is a social worker and a nurse, trained staff members who go out to a person's home, client's home, and actually assesses what that situation is and determines what kind of supports do they need to remain in that home.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned resonates with a question that I have had after watching and hearing about different situations with older people or people who are ill, who have special needs because of their illness or disability. And that is, well, the social worker came in and started bossing me around and told me, and they didn't treat me nicely, and they didn't respect me, and or they really didn't know how to help me. You say you train people. Mm-hmm. How do you go about training them?
Well, first of all, our nurses, of course, are all registered nurses. Our social workers are licensed social workers going out. And what you're telling me, I have heard before, but I want to reassure people that I work with these people on a daily basis. We have some of the most caring social workers and nurses that I have ever seen. You're going to get some resistance. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh,
at
sure.
Times it can happen. I mean, you have come into my home and you're going to tell me what I'm going to do. Nobody wants that to happen.
Nobody wants that.
So there sometimes can be that hurdle. We hope to overcome that a lot of times. We don't force services into anyone's home, but hopefully with the help of another loved one, they'll see that this would be the best for them. It's hard to have someone come into your home. I wouldn't like it either.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that this can make their life more pleasant and easier, hopefully that will overcome any of this of having someone come in. And John, all the people that we have go into someone's home, our service providers, those are all vetted by us. These are licensed people. I mean, we only have people on our service provider list that have been vetted by us. So you can rest assured that if someone comes into your home, it's okay. Because if we hear any complaints, we're going to be looking into that right away. So,
well, now, one thing I've heard is that, well, on Monday, they sent this person in. And then on Tuesday, there was somebody else in. And then Wednesday, there was another person in. There was no continuity with the same. The older person or the disabled person didn't get the chance to bond on a regular basis with people. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, we do hear that from time to time. You try to make it as the best you can. Depending on their level of care need, it may not be possible to always have that same person. I know the care managers try to work it out the best they can. Just depending, again, on their care level need, how many hours do they need somebody in there? That can also affect who's coming in on a regular basis. But we try to listen to the person and their family as much as possible. So when a care team comes into the person's home, it's meeting with the client, which would be the person that needs the care needs, and also any family members or friends or whoever is their support staff, and try to make this team approach. And then we make a care plan for that person. And then we go back and check on these people. So we're calling them on a regular basis. We're making in-home visits again, because over a course of 3 months, 6 months, your care needs may change. They may improve. You may not need as many supports, or you may need more. So we want to do a check-in on a regular basis with people. So we just don't do the care plan, have the supports in place, and then let the person go and never talk to them again. This is a continual relationship that we develop. And a little bit later, I would like to tell a story about an on-site visit that I had made to one of our clients' homes. So I'd like to do that.
Go ahead.
Well, last summer, I actually had the opportunity. I was working on a video for the agency, and I actually had the opportunity to go out to one of our clients' homes. And we can address pretty high care needs to keep someone in their home. This woman was on a ventilator and a wheelchair. And it was really, I don't go to clients' homes very often. I don't really get involved in that in my day-to-day work. But because of this video, I had the opportunity, and it was truly a privilege to meet this woman and her family and see her. She is a My Choice Waiver client, so she's in this program. And to see her being able to live in her home, to enjoy her family and her surroundings, to play with her grandchildren, to be part of their life. She would have never had that if she wasn't able to stay in her home. And she said, "I thank you for being able to keep me in my home." It was really a touching moment. Mm-hmm. And just a wonderful person, very positive person, very thankful, appreciative. It really was a great experience to be able to see that and go out to her home and have that experience and interact with her for a while.
You know, I think there is no alternative, no real alternative, and no substitution value for just being a programmatic person. That is, you deal only with the budget numbers and the creation that I want to write a grant today and that sort of thing, and maybe I'll handle complaints tomorrow from people. But going out to their homes, and when I was prosecutor, I had a rule that everybody in my office, all the assistants, had to go out at some point regularly and ride with the cops at night, because they needed to see what it was like to be a road police officer and make a traffic stop late at night, all alone, and you're walking up to that car that you've just turned over the speeder, you don't know what's going to happen. And the fear or the caution or the danger that officer knows he or she is going into is something that my assistants needed to see. And the same thing applied with crucial crime scenes. I wanted the assistants to get out and not just read paper, but to see the scene where the crime occurred fresh. because it allowed them, first of all, to appreciate the hard work that cops put in, but also to, when they walk into court, they don't have to just rely on an imaginary piece of image which comes from reading paper, but they've seen it. It's part of their world. You're going out and seeing homes, seeing real people, makes you a better communications director, obviously, since you've done it.
Yeah, I was really appreciative of having that opportunity because it doesn't present itself on a regular basis. So, yeah, it really makes me understand this program more, too, mm-hmm. and how we are really touching lives in our community and able to help people.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'll tell you what I read your website, and one of the things that struck me is that you've created for yourself multiple roles. I said you, the agency has. And one of those roles is advocacy. And I want to touch on the advocacy part as well. But we're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Tara Gillette, who is the Outreach and Communications Director for the Region 4 Area Agency on Aging. This is John Smetanka, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Tara Gillette, who is the Area 4 region, area communications and outreach director for the Agency on Aging. I'm sorry, I had to stumble all over that. That's a long title, but it's your problem for coming in with this title, not mine. Seriously. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect. Now, I mentioned before we broke that you use the word advocacy, and I know from having seen people in my law practice, in my prosecutor days, in my governmental days, in my all the different areas that I deal with in life, people need advocates. People can't always handle things for themselves. They need help. And one of the things they need help in is understanding this huge range of things that can happen to them, or the huge range of things that you all can provide. And advocacy, what do you mean by advocacy?
Well, a lot of our advocacy work is working with our legislators on the senior issues that mm-hmm. are present and working with them to get funding for the agency. So like the My Choice program, fortunately, with that program this year, we have more dollars and we have space in that program right now. People are familiar with that program. It's been in the state for a number of years. And there have been times where there's been long wait lists because there haven't been enough government dollars to support the number of people we need. And we're fortunate now to say we have space in that program that we can take clients, and there's not this wait list in there. So that's because of the great advocacy work that we have done at our agency with our legislators, and they really are very knowing of senior issues and see that we need to have dollars to help support our seniors in this program. So from that standpoint, it's been really great. I don't get too involved in the advocacy work. Our CEO, Lynn Kellogg, and Christine Van Landingham, our fund and product development officer, really get involved in that area the most. But I just see the good things that their work has done in being able to give us more dollars so that we're able to help those in our communities.
Now, you use the word waiver. You talked about My Choice waiver. Tell me about what that means.
Well, that's just a term from the state. It's called My Choice Waiver because it's part of a Medicaid program. And John, I want to clarify that this program is for those who are 18 and older with disabilities.
Ah, there we go.
That's a misunderstanding a lot of times, that people think it's only for people 65 and over. That's not the case. If you're 18 and over and have disabilities, or you're 65 and older with nursing home level of care needs. Now, that's just, you know, there's terminology. Nursing home level of care needs, what would that really be? We actually have a checklist when someone calls us to qualify for the program that our trained staff actually asks people, like, are you able to get your meals? Are you able to get out of bed? Are you able to transfer, you know, to the toilet? Are you able to just get around the house? And are, how much are you getting in and getting out? And the woman that I gave the example of earlier that's on the ventilator at home, she gets out and about and takes her electric wheelchair and, you know, goes to her grandchildren's programs at school. It's not just homebound. A lot of people are able to get out and about, but they still need some help around the house.
Let's go back to the disabilities issue, because you talked about 18 and older, or over 18. And in that, in that category, you say disabled people. What are examples of people who might be a disabled? For example, I know of many cases that come out of my, that I see in my law practice, where someone has been in an automobile accident, and they are unfortunately suffering from different levels of paralysis or inability to get around, and they may need help. With ventilators or care, cleaning them, helping them get through life and maximize what they can do and the quality of their life. Is that what you do?
Yes. Sometimes it could be maybe a birth issue. They could have had this issue their whole life. Sometimes it is an automobile accident, something of that nature, where they may have been covered under one program at some point, but then, you know, maybe that funding ended or they're no longer covered because now they've reached 18 if it was a birth type issue or an accident prior to being 18. So it may be that they fall into another category at that point. So, you know, we can have younger people, definitely, who have people in their 30s and 40s and number of clients that are on ventilators, which just amazes me that you can be in your home with that kind of, that's probably about the highest care need you would have, is being on a ventilator and living in your home. But the woman I had spoke about earlier, I mean, she was living as normal a life as she could from a wheelchair being on a ventilator. Amazing.
Tell me some of the other programs. Now, you've talked a lot about this My Choice program, and I've pushed you on advocacy, but you've got many other programs. You at one point you talked about the senior teaching about computers. But what else do you do?
So that's seniors, it's SeniorNet program, seniors teaching seniors is how we say that. We want to keep people active and healthy and out and going in the community as long as they can. So we have a series of classes that are available for people called evidence-based classes. Those are developed from a university, say Stanford University. It's kind of a tried and true program that they've developed this program. And if you follow it, you're going to see results and be able to help you in your life. So we have diabetes path classes for people who already have diabetes, and it's how to manage that. So you're going to have this for the rest of your life, but how do I live with that? How do I eat? You know, what is my activity level? How does my spouse or a friend, you know, deal with that too? So those classes are free, so people can come to different facilities. We'll maybe do them in our office, sometimes our office in St. Joe. Sometimes we go out to one of the senior centers and have a class on those. People sign up for them. They can come. We have trained facilitators who actually lead those classes. We have matter of balance classes. A lot of times we'll get a referral from one of the hospitals or someone saying, you know, Jane Smith has fallen a couple times. I think maybe maybe she should take a matter of balance class. That's for people who have had falls or have a fear of falling. So I've fallen once or twice, and now I'm afraid I'm going to fall again. Mm-hmm. So this matter of balance class will help you learn mechanisms and things to overcome that fear of falling and be able to manage your balance better. Because as we age, we start to lose our core if we're not working on that and taking, you know, core classes and Pilates and things like that. So that's a great class. Again, a free class that we have available. These are on our website, too, if anyone's interested. Our
website. I love websites. Tell me, what is yours?
Our website is areaagencyonaging.org. And we have all of our programs listed there. We have our classes listed there. Another class we have is our Creating Confident Caregivers class. We haven't really talked about too much about caregivers today, but a lot of times it'll be a spouse caring for a spouse.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing, we see a lot of dementia and Alzheimer's throughout the country. This class is for people who are a caregiver for someone with a memory issue. Mm-hmm. And wonderful class. Again, trained people are teaching these classes. That class is really great. It's a 6 weeks class. Again, it's free. And the one nice thing about that class is one thing people do not want to do when they're caring for someone with a memory issue is leave that person. There's always that, I can't leave them. I'm the only one that can be with them. With this class, we provide another caregiver to come in at no cost, so the main caregiver can actually come to the class.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really a nice thing to be able to offer free.
I saw a word that was in your website, respite. Now, I have this vision, you're going to tell me whether it's right or wrong, that people who are those caregivers, at some point, they're stretched to the beyond their ability, and they've just got to help themselves, and they need some time free. They need respite. Do you help out in that?
Absolutely. So respite really is rest, just to give you a break. Imagine being with someone 24/7 who does have a memory care issue, or what if they just have a health issue and you're like, you're just on call, I would call it, all the time. You need to get something for them, or they need you. They need to have someone with them. So yes, we can provide some respite for someone. See, they might have a doctor's appointment themselves. They may want to go to lunch with a friend. They may want to go to a book club. It's okay. We try to get people to understand it's okay to leave them with someone else. So we do have some volunteers that can come into people's homes, maybe for 2 hours even. I mean, just to give them that respite, a little rest to get out and see some other people and stuff. Yes, absolutely, we can do that.
There's so many other things we could talk about, and I want to come back to your website again, because people can come on to that if they're looking for care, looking for help, looking for understanding about how to deal with a person in their family or themselves, where they need to find out what's out there. And what is that website again? Very slowly, because that's a long one.
The website is areaagencyonaging.org.
All one word.
All one word. You can also call our 800 number. Not everybody wants to look on the website, so feel free to give us a call at our info line should you have any questions about aging and disability.
And telephone number again.
That is 800-654-2810.
Now, our listeners in this to this program range from northern Indiana on up to Allegan County and over almost to Kalamazoo. So this is not just a St. Joseph program, even though you're located in St. Joseph. How far does your range spread?
Okay, so we do, Region 4 has Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties, but there are other area agency on agings throughout the state of Michigan, and there's other aging associations even in Indiana. So if you are listening and you're not located in one of our three counties, still call our 800 number, and we can direct you to that number and the agency that can help you in the location you are at.
Now, I call in. Am I going to be charged for the time?
Oh, great question. No, we're not like an attorney, John.
Oh, I knew you were going to. They always throw that back. You attorneys are awful. But you're not charging for information.
We are not charging. Please, please call if you ever have a question. If you just want to know about, you know, one of our classes that we have, Matter of Balance, call us. If you don't see it on the website, if you can't find what you need, call us. That's what we're there for. We have a staff of people that are there on that 800 number that want to help you. So please do call. There is no charge for that. Some of our, like our senior net classes, there's a charge for that. But most of our programs, there's not, unless you get into the custom care, something like that.
Well, Tara Gillette, Communications Director, Outreach Director for the Region 4 Area Agency for Aging. Great time. Enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, John.
Unfortunately, there's more that we're out of time, and we're going to have people come and call you. This is John Smetanka. The name of our program is With Respect, and we are on every Sunday and Thursday. This program has been recorded in the studios of WRHC in Three Oaks. Remember that if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.